love me, first love yourself. For that, and God we trust, trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it to no show. Yo, welcome back to It Is What It Is. Today's show is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. You know, the app's a cool way to make some cash while making picks on your favorite players. The app's available in over 30 states, California, Texas, New York, just to name a few. Make sure you support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll match your deposit up to $100, and you know, using code CAM, it'll take you even further than that. You know, I had it. I was just about to introduce us. All right. Well, my name is Killer Cam, and I'm here today with my man Mace. Treasure's out for the day, so it's just me and him. We're going to do our thing.
Yeah, Killer. You almost had it. Pause, man.
When are you going to do it, Murder? You haven't done it all season. You ain't do it one time. Stat been out four times. You never do it. You always want me to do it. And niggas is winning with Cole Cam. When are you going to do it one time?
That's not my part. That's not my role. I play my role, you know?
Listen,
they don't
but
count
this
on
one...
me for that. They count on Stat for that. You were doing good, Kim. You just got to be confident. You got to keep your confidence.
Let me ask you a question, Myrtle. Have you ever played in a game where they fouled out and there was only three or four players when you was playing? I'm just asking. Have you ever been in that situation? Because I have. I've been in that situation. Marquis fouled out everybody on Gauchos, and it was me, Little Curtis, and Tyler.
I remember that.
Yeah, so I had to play all positions sometime. I said that to let you know. sometimes you got to do everything. So that's the only reason I brought it up. But yeah, man, big shout out to Underdog Fantasy. How you been, Murda? How was your weekend, B?
Good, man, but you had to play all positions as well. I'm just going
it was.
To start off.
Yeah, that was.
I let you
that
know
was,
that was crazy.
You want to? Good morning. Good morning to you too. That's how you bet. Let's do it. Bet. I'm winning.
How many positions were you referring to? What are we talking? Three, four. How many positions did you have?
It's cool.
You're going viral. You're going viral. And Nick, you better not edit this out, neither.
We're doing it no edit. Boys, let's go through the whole show. No edit, nothing. Let's go. Let's do it. Boys,
yeah. All right, let's be serious. But that was crazy.
That was crazy. That was crazy. Listen, so let's start the show off with this. So, yeah. Murda, it seems like Trayvon Diggs has responded to our opinion on what we said last week about him and his situation with his future baby mother or his baby mother to be, I'm not sure. And he tweeted out, not verbatim, but he basically tweeted out, matter of fact, I'll read exactly what he said. He said, I was 5 years old when you guys were rapping. Ain't no way you speaking on me right now. You like 50 mentioning our name on your platform. What do you have to say about that?
Did he say that? Is that what he said? Yeah. You guys?
His exact words was, I was 5 when you was rapping. Ain't no way. Matter of fact, he says you now that I'm reading it. Maybe he's talking about me when you was rapping right now. You like 50 mentioning me on your platform.
Wait, let me look at, yeah, let me say look at something right now. Let me look up something right now. I want to look
no
up, for a moment. When did Welcome Back come out?
Welcome, maybe 2002. Three.
Welcome Back came out August 2024. So he wasn't talking about me because 5 years from now, he was talking about you, Cam.
2004 or 2024?
2004, he was talking about
you. Oh, no, I thought you said 2024. Oh, yeah, no problem. I'm just, Because the thing about it is, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, I was rapping before you was born, nigga. You born in 98. I was rapping before you was born. But the problem is, we're not rapping up here. We're talking about the situation at hand. This has nothing to do with rap. Secondly, I'm getting more money now than then. I looked at your salary. I might be a little bit past you because I do my renegotiation in September. When my renegotiation paper come up, I'm going to beat your contract you just signed, and it's not going to be for 5 years. It's not going to be for 5 years. And I ain't got to tackle nobody. That's first and foremost. I ain't got to tackle one nigga to get this money I'm about to get. So let's start there with the money. Secondly, I'm going to tell you right now how this works for Trayvon Diggs and anybody else. The way we come up with our topics is this. Treasure sends us our topics. Then from Treasure sending us our topics, I called a barbershop in New York. I asked them what's going on in New York. They tell me. I called a barbershop in Chicago. They tell me. I called a barbershop in Ohio. We are an extension of what niggas is talking about anyway. So when you say our platform is speaking for what niggas can't, what niggas want to say but can't get to y'all niggas. This is what niggas want to say. Secondly, you're listening or somebody told you about it, so you know a nigga or either you're watching what we're talking about. We're not here to rain on your parade. We actually support it. If that's the type of nigga you are, that's the type of nigga you are. We wasn't dissing it. I just said, I'm not into that. I think I'm going to copyright murder. I ain't into that because I've been seeing that all weekend. All weekend niggas was hashtagging, I ain't into that.
I ain't into that.
That was all weekend. I think that's what hurt niggas. But at the end of the day, homie, I'm not here to shit on your parade. If you like it, I love it. I'm just wishing you luck. I'm just telling you what Cam can and cannot do. But what you don't want to do is be the focus. We're on every morning. I don't want to make you the focus. I don't want to lead the show off with you. Because I didn't say half the things that I really could say. I actually thought I was being polite, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, we try to redeem the relationship. And you heard me say things like, you know what? If people can get a second chance and find somebody that could love them the way they want to be loved. But nigga, you messed that up. We was trying to be, really good about it because there was more things that he could have said. And there definitely was more things I could have said. Mm. But, we like Cam said, you don't want to become the focus because we're not really making you focus. We really were just saying, I know even Cam, I know he was just really saying he's not into that. He's not into wifing up something two niggas got rid of that we know. Yeah. That's common sense.
Right.
Why would that be a problem? It's no different than a girl may feel like if two lit chicks passed on a nigga, you wouldn't be a third chick that thinks she's lit. She wouldn't go and say, well, I'll take them now. You know what I'm saying?
So absolutely.
Pause both ways. That should go both ways. Yeah,
you're 100% right. And also for our female viewers, because this sparked a lot of conversation over the weekend. Also for our female viewers, you're absolutely right. A guy could be leftovers too. Because a few females was like, because I'm glad you brought that up, Murder. A few females were like, why guys feel like they can't be leftovers? You're absolutely right, sweethearts and ladies and my babies out there watching our show and supporting the show. You are 100% right. Mace just said it, and I don't need to repeat it, but he laid it out perfectly for you. It goes both ways. And for me, they take these sound bites and put them on different blogs, so a lot of people may not see the whole context behind what we're talking about. But what I was saying is, sometimes it doesn't matter who you're with. It's just about being mixy and messy. So when you're being mixy and messy and in the same industry of people you may bump into, I say that's a problem. They didn't see the other soundbite when I said, it may not be a problem. It's my go. You had your turn, I didn't. It's, for me, it's about creating an uncomfortable atmosphere, so to speak. But May said it best. It goes both ways. But as far as Trayvon, look, you like it, we love it, we wish you the best. but we're not going to not talk about what they're talking in them barbershops, and we're not going to act like we don't see it.
Yeah, and we can turn a blind eye for you. We won't do it on it is what it is. So if you end up on the docket, we got to address it. And we're not, the thing I like about our show is we don't hold no special energy pause for nobody. We just tell the truth straight across the board. We don't cut no passes. We don't overlook topics because we may know this person or not know this person. And we don't throw nothing pause extra on it out of jealousy. That's what I really like about our show. It's just an even, it's an even report on what we're talking about. It's nobody like I'm sitting there like, yeah, I can't wait to say this about him. It's like, no, if you end up in a sucker pause position, then we're talking about how we would say it in the barbershop the same way we would say it.
Absolutely, 100% correct, and I couldn't have said it any better. But I'll leave it at that. But as far as how old you was when I was rapping, I don't know what that had to do with anything. Because to be honest with you, I was rapping before you was born, nigga. My first album came out the same year you was born. What that got to do with anything? I don't get it. But the best advice is don't become the focus, please.
Yeah,
because we come on every day. Yeah, please, man. Please let it go. Moving on. The Pittsburgh Steelers have acquired Justin Fields. Now that not only do they have Justin Fields, they also have Russell Wilson. Mace, did you think this is where Justin Fields was going?
No, I actually did not. I actually did not think this was where Justin Fields was going, especially because they had, you know, they already got Russell Wilson, but this looks like they're trying to set him up to be a backup quarterback, learn the system, learn some takes from a former quarterback that played in it in a championship and won a championship, so he could learn a lot of things from Russell Wilson. And I think they're using Russell Wilson to play the quarterback position as a starter. And then they're going to bring Justin Fields along, and hopefully Justin Fields will be there the year after that Russell Wilson is gone, because I could see Russell Wilson using this to show that he still can play at a very, very high level and then going where he really wants to go to get the money he wants. I think that's the whole purpose of signing this deal for 1 year, so after he balls out, he can go wherever he wants to go and get the money he think he deserved on his probably will be his last contract or close to the last one.
Right. I think that's a great take. I think that, totally honest, the Steelers had extra money being that they got Russell Wilson for so cheap. They're paying Russell Wilson $1.2 million, which was shit. That's basically Salvation Army prices in the NFL, you know what I'm saying? So they had money left over. And listen, this is a great problem to have. Not saying it's a problem, because you had the quarterback who was there last year who they thought they was grooming to be there. Now it's looking like he's probably going to be third string. But I would say this, I'd rather have two good quarterbacks or decent quarterbacks. We don't know where Russell Wilson is at right now. I don't count Russell Wilson's season last year as a good season. Of course it wasn't good, but I don't count it as a bad season, I would say. I just think him and Sean Payton got off to such a bad start that it was no resolution during the season. So I think this season with Mike Thomason, they'll have a good chance to see what Russell Wilson really looks like. And having Justin Fields there as well, it doesn't hurt. I don't know who's going to start. That's a great point, Mace, what you say, how Justin Fields could watch Russell Wilson, but he's been a starting quarterback for a couple of years now. So it isn't like somebody who's in a backup position pause either. I think that Mike's going to let them battle it out, and whoever plays better is going to start. You made a great point. He has championship experience, been to a couple Super Bowls, won one. But I think whoever's ready to play, that's who's going to play, my opinion, and we'll soon find out. But if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is a great problem to have.
Yeah, I think out of the 40 games that he played back there, even as before getting to the Steelers, with him being 60% in passes completed, he got 40 touchdowns, but 30 interceptions. I don't think that really gonna put him at starting quarterback, because that means for every touchdown he throws, he might follow up with a interception. So I think the best thing for him to do with all of the personnel that they brought in, because they really been super busy. They got I wrote it down, Van Jefferson at receiver. They picked up Patrick McQueen, and Dante Jackson. So they're really doing their thing. It looked like the Pittsburgh Steelers got a much better team than they closed the season with.
Absolutely. But a lot, and I'm totally agreeing with you. But we know for a fact that the Bears organization hasn't been doing shit for, what, 15, 20 years, if that long. So Justin Fields was in a no-win situation whatsoever. And you're right as far as his percentage as it goes to touchdown and interceptions. You're 100% right, but the system been fucked up. But I'm not opposed to what you're saying either. I think that would be the best format, but you know, we're not in practice with them every day. We're not seeing what's going on. Same thing like with Brock Purdy. And I know we're using the top example here, but when they got rid of that quarterback, I can't think of his name, and sent him to Dallas, everybody was like, yo, what the fuck are the 49ers doing? Why would they send him to Dallas right now and go with, what was Brock Purdy's nickname? Mr. I can't forget it. Mr. Irrelevant. Why would they go with Mr. Irrelevant right now, as opposed to getting rid of their second string quarterback who was starting? Because they see things in practice that we don't. And I think it's very fair. And I think whoever works hard is going to get the starting spot. We'll see, though. We'll talk about it more in the future.
Yeah, that was a good point, because I remember when I think Cam Newton was saying that he was just a game manager for like most of the year. And then he ended up in the championship.
Right. And listen, I spoke to Cammy, and, you know, when I spoke to Cam Newton, he's going to come on the show. You know, he had that little situation at camp. He wanted everything to die down. So he's coming on the show. But Cam Newton, to this day, Mace, stands on that Brock Purdy is still a game manager. We talked off the phone about it. Or we talked off the phone about it, and he still was standing on it. So I would love to talk to Cam about that as well. Moving on. Isaiah Thomas signed a 10-day contract with the Suns. Do you think he'll be able to perform on their team? Did Mace, did you say something like this?
Yes. Title Town told you this, killer. This is why they pay me, Cam. They pay me because I know my stuff, boss. I'm always right, Cam. I'm glad you got me on this show with you, because you need somebody that's always right. I told you that not only would he make the team, I say, yo, he could really make a difference. And I even Nick, you're my witness. Somebody got to be my witness. This would be the time Stat's not here. Stat, wherever you are, you're a sucker for not being here. You know I said this. I said that Isaiah Thomas would be in the league. I said he will be a major contributor on a team. And I actually said the team that needed him was the Suns. They're listening to us, killer. They're listening to us in the GM office. Read the question again, Cam. I got to hear this again.
The question is, one more time. Hold on. Let me read the question. Isaiah Thomas signed a 10-day contract with the Suns. Do you think he'll be able to perform well with their team?
Of course. This guy is no new person to getting buckets. And when plays break down or somebody get hurt, as somebody probably will on the Suns, this becomes the perfect player, because when you're playing down to the wire and you're playing for all the chips, you want somebody on your team that have that chip on their shoulder when they got talent. It's the thing that the Lakers do not have in Anthony Davis. He don't play with that chip. Isaiah Thomas is coming in the game with that chip. Oh, niggas don't think I belong here. Oh, niggas acting like I can't still do this. And when it's needed, he's going to be able to get that 12, 14 points that they're looking for to make all of the difference. So I think he's going to do a phenomenal job there. And if they try to play him, they're going to regret it, because he's really up to playing. His first game in the CBA, he had like 30 points. So it lets you know 30 is 30 anywhere. Even if you're playing against kids, 30 is 30. The ball, pause, got to go in the basket 15 times. What do you think, Killer? Yeah.
He played in the G League. Is the CBA been over for like 50 years?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
What I want to ask you this, Mason, is you got a lyric that says you want to send them heat without AC. Niggas think I'm sweet will taste me. What does that mean?
I'm glad you asked.
What do you mean you want to set them heat with no AC and niggas think I'm sweet will taste me? What are you talking about? What are you talking about right there? I'm just asking you when you said niggas think I'm sweet well taste me and you want to send them heat with no AC. What are you talking about? Yeah. Yeah. So y'all know? I know. Now you know what I tried to do? I'm gonna keep it 100. You was right about Isaiah Thomas. I tried to throw it off.
Yeah, you did.
I will give you 100% credit, Mason. I'm going to give you 100% credit. You called this. I did not see this coming. Not only did you call Isaiah Thomas getting back in the NBA, you definitely said a team like the Phoenix Suns. I cannot deny it. And look, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I wasn't against this, but history says that they don't usually pick up 35-year-olds. So even after it was over, I was wishing he got back in. I just didn't think it was going to happen. And I'm really happy it happened because the way, like I said, Jamal Crawford was up here on the show, It Is What It Is, advocating, saying how hard Isaiah Thomas works. I really, really wish him the best, and I'm happy he got a shot. Did I think it was going to happen? Absolutely not. Did Mace say it could happen? Absolutely. Did he say the Suns? Absolutely. So I have to give Mace all the credit when it came to this. I didn't see him. What I will say is a 10-day contract. But hopefully he can last for the rest of the year and make a contribution because I'm definitely rooting for him. But Mace did call this. Can't even lie.
They're trying to play themselves by giving them a 10-day contract. They know they really just need to add them to the roster because there's nobody else on that team that can get a shot on their own at the point guard spot. I mean, that frequent, whether other than Devin Booker, if you put Devin Booker at the point, he can get a bucket better than, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but he can get a bucket on an ISO at the top of the key probably better than Bradley Beal. He got the moves, pause, to get a bucket. And them other guys, Gordon and them, they can't go off the dribble. They can just spot up and shoot. And I think when it breaks down, that you need somebody that can slash and get to the rack and make everybody else have to play honest. So that was
And to be totally honest with you, looking at the situation, the Phoenix Suns don't have a traditional point guard. You know, he's a traditional point guard. Devin Booker, he could play the point. Bradley Beal, he could play the point. Even KD, if needed to be, could play a point forward. But they don't have a traditional point guard to actually run the offense. Not saying all three of them guys named that I named can't run the offense. But I'm pretty sure that Devin Booker would like to be on the wing and get busy if it was up to him. Same thing with Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant. So, like I said, it's a great, great addition to the team. Mace, you absolutely called this. I was 100% wrong. And I hope he gets to stay to the end of the season and hopefully get a contract for next year.
Yeah.
So moving on, Rick Barry said it's insane they don't have an MVP for the Western Conference and an MVP for the Eastern Conference. Do you think this would make sense?
Mm. This again is one of those tricky situations where if you start giving out too many trophies, we seen this, right? We saw this with the end season. Niggas get two good games in the end season and say we went to the championship in the end season, and niggas vanish for like 10 or 12 games. This is not good. The West Coast MVP, East Coast, Eastern Conference MVP. I think it's better if you just leave it to one MVP because it gives people something to shoot for. When you want to be the top dog, you don't want no discrepancies. This is not the Eastern Conference MVP. This is not the Western Conference MVP. This is MVP of the league. I'm better than everybody here. I'm more valuable than everybody here. That's the big dog award. I think the divide that will just make people feel better. It's almost like being in the YMCA and they give everybody a trophy. I don't like that. I don't come from that. I don't like when people just give niggas medals because they play. I made my kids get a trophy back. Give it back. You didn't earn it. Give it back. Mother said, let them have the trophy. No. You're sending the wrong message. You got to go and get yours, son. If you want one, they make them for the champs. Go get
That's
you.
Right.
I don't like this. And I like Rick Barry. But is this the Rick Barry? Which Rick Barry is it? You know, it's two of them, right?
I would probably say the younger one if you ask him. The older one is pretty old if he's still here. I'm not sure. But I would say the younger one.
Yeah, this is the one, the Rick Barry. I don't know. I don't know about this one, Killer. I can't go with that. I really can't. I don't like the idea of two people having MVP. It just sounds weird. For the great competitor in me, it just, two MVPs sound wicked. It's MVP and it's sportsmanship. I don't ever want it to be two MVPs.
Now, listen, man, it's funny that you said that before I even get a pro talk about what we said with Rick Barry, because I'm not with that neither. Everybody get a trophy joint. I hate that. I hate that. You know what I hate when people be like, it ain't all about winning. Then why are they keeping score if it isn't all about winning? What's the point? Hate that. I hate that participation trophy and medal that you're talking about. And as far as what Rick Barry said, I totally agree. Look, it's one MVP. What they did was, which I do like, and I think it started last year, if not last year, the year before last. When the playoffs come, the Eastern Conference champion gets an MVP for the Eastern Conference playoffs, and a Western Conference gets an MVP, whoever wins the Western Conference playoffs. That's good enough. We don't need
that's it
for the
that's
whole
it.
Season.
Yeah, you don't need, because then that mean there'll be five MVPs. I mean, or three right. MVPs. That's not good.
Yeah, and it'll be five. You got it right, because you have the two for the Eastern Conference, Western Conference. Then you have one regular season for the Eastern Conference, Western Conference, and then you have a championship MVP. No. It's way too much. You're 100% right. Look,
who's
MVP
means top dog. All of this stuff to hide people's insecurities. That's what I don't like. It's like they're just making everything to where people could feel better about not achieving.
I agree. And look, it's only, and think about how many players it is in the world. It's only 480 players in the NBA. Just be the best one. Stop looking for shit to give niggas. Let niggas earn it. And that's just that. Prove yourself one.
Yeah,
prove yourself throughout the season.
Focusing on the game and stop worrying about your clothes, and you could be an MVP, nigga. Go work out.
The reason I like the system now with the playoffs is because what happens is you could be a regular season MVP and then lose in the first round. So by the second round, people are like, how did he get the MVP? Hey, he shouldn't even got the MVP. Well, they took care of that. We have a playoff MVP in the East and a playoff MVP in the West. That's where they should leave it at. That's the end of it and move on. That's what I think.
Yeah, and I even like the idea of the play-in. You know, the play-in is pause is crazy because somebody that felt like they used to feel like, oh, them niggas put them in the playoffs over us. Now we get to settle all of that. There's no arguments. There's no nobody pause jerked you or none of that. You had a shot and you didn't get it done. I like that. I stand by that.
Right. As far as the play-on, I have two different opinions on it and kind of mixed emotions. They did the play-in, so teams at the bottom of the standings won't feel like they need to think to get better draft pick moving forward. So if you're in ninth, 10th place, you almost start tanking to say, oh, okay, we're just going to keep losing the rest of the season so we can get good draft picks. So yeah. I like it for that point. I definitely like that. But I also don't like it because you have teams, and I'm not accusing any of these teams of this, but you have teams like the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors in the play-in currently as the standings stand right now. And I'm not accusing them of this. Like I said, I want to say that twice to be clear. But it gives you somewhat of a lackluster performance because you say as long as we in the play-in, we gonna be high. Because I know we could win the play-in, nigga. If we get in this, all we need to do is get in the play-in. Because you gotta realize now, to be totally honest with you, the NBA has 30 or 32 teams, whatever it is. You have 20 teams going to the playoffs, which is crazy. That's more than half of the league going to the playoffs. And I just think that's crazy.
That's too much.
That's too much. You got 20 teams that could go to the playoffs, and that's just absolutely too much. So I don't like it because of that. But then I also like it because you don't get the tank as well. You still have an opportunity. So that's why I have mixed emotions about it. So moving on, Isaiah Thomas, I'm thinking OG Isaiah Thomas, explains why Draymond Green is the Warriors' point guard. And he said this, Steph comes off screens, catches and shoots. What do you think, Mace? Is Draymond Green really the point guard?
In a lot of ways, he is. I mean, when you think about it, because when you think of the duties of a point guard, he's normally guarding a better guard. He's normally guarding a faster guy. He's normally bringing the ball up, setting the offense, making sure he stay poised until Steph and Klay come off screens. He is technically the point guard. I mean, everything that a point guard does, keep the pace of the floor, keep the spacing of the floor. He's the last to take a shot. Everything a classical point guard does, Draymond does. Even like the energy that he comes with to keep the team. He's the soul of the team. Everything you think about, as he goes, the team goes. That's the point guard. So I think in every way you could explain a point guard, he is. It's not like he does some of the job. He does all of the jobs. Again, floor general. Guard the quicker man, last to take a shot, soul of the team, just every aspect, and running the
yeah. No, I didn't mean to interrupt you if you wasn't finished.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I totally agree with you guys. When I say you guys, I'm talking about Isaiah Thomas as well. It's not even a secret. We got to realize. Draymond Green, if I'm not mistaken, I'm gonna look when we go to break and come back with the definite answer. But if I'm not mistaken, with all the great players that came through Golden State in its history, I'm talking about years, you know, we got to realize that Golden State may have never got over the hump pause on certain years, but they had dynamic players, whether it was Chris Mullin, whether it was Monte Ellis, whether it was Baron Davis, whether it was Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, Billy Owens. Right, Sprewell. Draymond Green leads that organization in triple-doubles. And it's not by accident. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely not by accident. You know, one day me here to bring this nigga up again. Me and Sin City was arguing because, you know, he was saying how Carmelo is a better player than Draymond Green. And I wasn't debating that. You know, we were just saying where people fit better for. Carmelo Anthony was better player than Draymond Green. And I said I wasn't really debating that, but I was saying how Draymond in that system just fits. So we was talking about triple doubles, and Sin was like, Carmelo got mad triple doubles. And I was like, Draymond Green has over 30 triple doubles. Mace, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Just on top of your head, you may know or may not know. How many career triple doubles do you think Carmelo Anthony has? And I didn't know off the top of my head either. I just, you know, me and Sin was going back and forth.
Probably around 20.
Right. So to put it in perspective, Draymond Green has 32 triple doubles.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony has 2 triple doubles in his whole career. Two.
I don't know why I said that. He never passed the ball.
Right. You know, Melo's a great scorer. Great scorer, but he has 2 triple doubles in his whole career. But that's not an absurd guess. 20 isn't an absurd guess. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know. You know, it isn't an absurd guess. So when you're saying that he's passing, look who's on the team. He'd be crazy not to pass to Steph Curry, to pass to Klay Thompson, a primetime Klay Thompson. And not only that, that frees him up from time to time. I watched the game over the weekend they had, and they looked really, really in sync. And I was like, damn, Golden State to gain this type of rhythm when they played the Lakers this past weekend. If they stay in sync like that, man, they're going to look really, really good in the play-in or moving forward. But Draymond was the engine, like you said, on Saturday night when they played. I was like, this nigga here is doing everything. And then he was passing to Steph and Klay. Klay had a good game coming off the bench as well. That a lot of times towards the end of the game, he would fake the pass and get easy layups because he'd been dropping dimes to Steph all game long. So I agree with Isaiah Thomas, to be totally honest with you.
Let me ask you a question, Cam. Who's your favorite Golden State player other than this team? Like before this team, who was your favorite Golden State player?
I'm going to have to go with Latrell Sprewell off the top of my head. Latrell Sprewell, a lot of people forget, even though it was that year off, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I got to Google it. Latrell Sprewell was first team All-NBA. When he was at Golden State, when Mike and I was out, this kid was nasty. Latrell Sprewell, a lot of people forget how good he was. And then he caught that bad rap when he choked out P.J. Carlissimo. So a lot of niggas forget about how good he was because he had to get traded. Then he was decent on the Knicks as well. But, you know, you get a different spotlight on you when you're in New York. A lot of times Golden State was under the radar with Latrell going crazy. And if I had to take a second pick, it's a few Golden State players. Look, I'm going to go first with Latrell Sprewell, but my honorable mention, Chris Mullin, Tim Hardaway, and Baron Davis and Monte Ellis.
Yeah, that's right. That's who I would have picked too. You didn't have Richardson?
Richardson was nice to me. He was really just more athletic.
Yeah.
He's really athletic. You know what I'm saying? And not saying he didn't have a little skill, but it was more of the, you know, this nigga here going crazy. You know, Richardson, a lot of times forget, he was on a fast break and about doing 360. LeBron came and pimped his shit. I was like, oh.
Chris Webber behind the back dunk on Vargas.
See, the thing about it is Chris Webber was great. Chris Webber was great, but my greatest memories of Chris Webber or Sacramento, that's maybe what happened. Because when he got to Sacramento, he was going crazy. But Chris Webber, absolutely.
Dunked
on Barkley. Yeah, on Barkley was crazy. Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. Look, we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back on It Is What It Is.
She called this thing about toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She tired of hearing, I don't know. My stubborn in me won't fall. Oh, oh. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about she wanna be free.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is, our underdog fantasy picks for the night. The Knicks are playing Golden State. Underdog fantasy has Steph Curry at 26.5 points. Mace, what do you think, higher or lower?
He got to get more than 26 because that boy on New York is going to have 26. Higher.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm going to agree with Mace, and I'm also going to say higher. Underdog Fantasy also has Draymond Green at 5.5 assists. Do you think you have higher or lower?
I'm going higher since he's in point guard mode and Klay is shooting well. Klay just had 26. I mean, we get to that later, but yeah, I'm going higher.
Cool. Lastly, Jalen Brunson is at 7.5 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower?
I'm actually going to go lower on that.
I'm actually going to go higher. That kid been balling out. I know, look, a lot of – you got to know, look, it's that time, man. Steph is still kicking ass, and a lot of niggas want his spot, and I believe he's one of them, so I'm going to go higher. Make sure you go download the Underdog Fantasy app. And if you want, go use code CAM, nigga. Code CAM been killing. Let's move on. So the Knicks, they have been 15-2 since the trade with OG Anunoby. Am I pronouncing the name right, Murder?
No, it's OG Anunoby.
OG Anunoby. Okay. Yeah, well, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. The Knicks have been 15-2 since the trade. How confident are you in the Knicks?
That's why I said lower on the points with Brunson. Not that I'm hating on Brunson. I actually want him to do well. It's just something about the Knicks. It just always something happens. We live there, Cam. You know, at some point, something, I don't know if it's a DUI, it's just something happened that makes it go wrong. Now, if they change it, I'm all for it. I really want them to win. You know what I'm saying? It beats the Brooklyn Nets. I can't really support that. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Harlem. I can't, you know. I be trying, but, you know. But when you think of the teams they beat Minnesota, they beat Philly, and they beat Philly by 30. So this has been amazing. I mean, they lost to teams like Dallas and Orlando, but other than that, they got some real notable wins. They even beat Denver by almost 40. This is crazy, you know what I'm saying? And it's like that team that you remember growing up, the team have a super big man, and then we just press them all game, so then it doesn't matter they got a big man. It's like they really understand that. Through Thibodeau, how to win, even if they don't have that major centerpiece on their team. So I'm jacking it, but I know too much about the Knicks. The Knicks is like, what's that team? You know something. Everybody know a team like that. If something's going to go wrong, you just don't know when. But you're waiting for it, right? But other than that,
100%.
Other than the jinx, are they playing well? Yes. Is this the best New York team I've seen playing in a long time? Yes. Everything, they check all of the boxes. The only thing I'm concerned with is the history of New York Knicks. And is Spike going to be at the game? That's what I need to know. Is Spike still going?
No, damn well Spike going.
You got to put Spike in the skybox. I'm telling you, you got to put Spike got to be in a booth somewhere, man. They get Spike off the floor, they might win. I'm telling you.
Yeah, look, I'm mad I have to agree with you this much on this fucking show, but yeah, look. I got a bunch of Knicks fans. They always hit me year after year after year. And never since we started doing this show has been even worse. Why don't y'all talk about the Knicks? Oh, they playing good. Y'all don't want to talk about the Knicks. You and Murder just avoid the Knicks, and the Knicks are doing good, and the Knicks are doing this, and the Knicks are doing that. Look, the Knicks are playing outstanding. They are. They are playing great.
Yeah.
And I was telling Knicks fans that the Knicks are probably, and I wouldn't even say a superstar, they're all-star away from a championship. Not saying winning a championship, going to a championship possibly. Because look, let's be realistic. The Knicks are doing great and we're happy, but they aren't doing better than what we predicted in the beginning of the season. And when I say predicted the beginning of the season, they weren't part of the prediction. What we said in the Eastern Conference when the season started, that it'd be Boston, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. Now at the top, we have Boston, we have Milwaukee, Cleveland is in third, the Knicks are in fourth. Right now, Philadelphia is in eighth place in the play-in, but we know Joel Embiid has not been. Now, if I think Joel Embiid had been there, that they would probably be in second or third place as well with Milwaukee and Boston. Right now, Boston is just looking sensational. That's just that. They're 10 games ahead in the East. Everybody else is in the rear view. And I don't see anybody beating Boston outside of Milwaukee at this point. And I'm not sure if Milwaukee could beat a healthy Boston. Porzingis is a key
Milwaukee
factor.
Milwaukee beat them niggas.
I mean, that's on you, Murder. It's my turn to talk. You had your turn to talk.
All right, good. It's my go, bro. Milwaukee, though, yo.
We was talking about the Knicks, and I'm talking about the Eastern Conference. Niggas is talking about the Knicks. Woo, woo, woo. Are they going to the chip? Do you think that?
Yeah, you're right. No,
I'm just talking about the competition the Knicks have to deal with. Now, if you want to go into a Milwaukee-Boston scenario, that's fine with me as well. We can actually talk about that next, but I'll just say this, that the Knicks are doing better than what we expected, but let's hold up for a minute, man, because like Mace says, history says something totally different, and I don't want to get my hopes up high to be let down. Pause. That's just the way it is.
Next year, and why next year, right?
Exactly. So, but we're rooting for the Knicks. We hope it goes good. It's been great since the trade. That was the original question. How confident am I? I'm confident in them to get to the second round. Past that, I'm not sure. Well, before we go to where originally was the next question, Murder, let's talk about this real quick since you brought it up. Who do you think is going to the championship in the Eastern Conference?
I actually think Milwaukee beats Boston. And this is why. There's a young kid on Milwaukee that I saw, a rookie, by the name of, I think it's like Jackson or something, like Andre Jackson. He is going to make a difference on that team. Before, it's been like kind of close. I just don't see if it comes down to a healthy Giannis versus a healthy, Tatum. That I don't think Tatum can overtake what you call it, Giannis, if he's healthy. I don't think so. And it seemed like Doc is finally getting the team to play a little bit better, you know. And I think when it comes time, they'll take this more personal than Boston will take it. And it's not their talent, it's the mindset. The mindset of Boston is almost like, we got the pieces, we supposed to win. But who's supposed to win is not who always wins. It's the team that comes there hungry to get that chip and hungry to get that win. And I don't believe in the playoffs Damian Lillard is going to look anything like early season Damian Lillard. And I think that would be too much for Boston. Even though they got major talent on the team, you know what I'm saying? Major talent. But when it comes down to it, We saw it in the playoffs when we was watching Joker against KD and them. It come down to them dogs, bro. It come down to I want to win more than you want to beat us. That's what it boils down to.
Great assessment. I'm not mad at it all. And if that happened, I wouldn't be surprised. But right now, I'm going with the boss. How then? This is all on the basis that everybody healthy. I'm going with the Boston Celtics. Look, Al Horford is playing like he's in his fifth year. Al Horford has been in the league for years. I was looking at an old photo. Al Horford played with Mike Bibby, like, and Joe Johnson and them. That's how long Al Horford been around, playing like he's in his fifth or sixth season. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, we know what they bring to the table. But I think the X factors is Porzingis and Jrue Holiday. The same way you're saying that Damian Lillard will not be playing the same, I think Jrue Holiday may have a chip on his shoulder about it. He's a great defensive player. I don't think he's as good as offensive player as Damian Lillard, but he's nothing to sneeze at on offense either. But I really and truly believe that he may have a chip on his shoulder. Like, this is what y'all wanted. This is the attitude. Porzingis, you've been hurt for years. This is the opportunity that you have right now to win. Also, Boston, you have to realize they never really got any real chemistry with a coach. I was explaining this to somebody a couple days ago, and I know we always use our scenarios and we never went pro or anything like this, but you got to realize basketball was almost life for me and Mace at one particular time. And I was explaining to somebody that my high school career, and I didn't get to Mad Center until 10th grade, but including 9th grade, high school is 4 years, and I had 5 coaches in 4 years. You never get a system going with 5 coaches, maybe more than 5 coaches. I had my high school coach when I went to Spess, then I had Ford at Mad Center, then I had Rich at Mad Center, then I had Mr. Gladden at Mad Center, then I had Samora at Mad Center, and then Coach Jackson. How many damn coaches can you get momentum with if every year you have a different coach? And I believe the first year that they got to the championship, the Boston Celtics I'm talking about, it was a brand new coach during the offseason. You know, he had that scandal. He got fired. They hired his assistant last minute when the season started last year. He didn't even really get a whole training camp. He got the job maybe a week before the season started. They still made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think this year his system is being implicated to where now they have a little bit of momentum. So we'll wait and see what happens. And I believe that's why they have such a big lead in the Eastern Conference right now. But you're 100% right. When the playoffs come, that's two different scenarios. We're just going to see about who takes it more personal between Boston and Milwaukee. And not only Boston and Milwaukee, like I said, the Knicks are coming in there with an attitude. Julius Randle has not been playing. When Julius Randle comes back, we'll see what happens there. And Cleveland, they stay in the mix as well. So we'll see what happens. But if we're talking purely Boston and Milwaukee, I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics as of right now, but I'm not mad at Murder for picking the Milwaukee Bucks as well. And also what I do want to say is, as much fun as we was making the Doc Rivers getting the job before the All-Star break and him losing and so on and so forth, he's getting a lot of wins quietly, a lot of sneaky wins. It seems like bringing them in there at this moment was a good idea. We'll see if it translates to a championship, because that's why he was called to be there, to win a championship.
And in agreement with you on some of the things you were saying, it will boil down to what's his name, Holiday and Damian Lillard. That will be interesting to see what they do in the playoffs. And I want to, before we go and move on, I want to also bring up, you saw the highlight of Giannis' brother do the sham on somebody?
Yeah, I seen that. That was fire. I sent it to Sham. He went like this. So I sent it to Sham. Sham did this emotion. Sham said everything ain't for everybody. So Saturday night, the Golden State Warriors beat the Lakers 128-121 to get the 9th seed. How do you feel about how the Lakers been playing lately?
The Lakers, didn't Golden State win that?
Yeah, Golden State won.
Oh, you was asking how I feel about the Lakers as if the Lakers won. Now, I was expecting the Lakers to play better. I think that especially when they're playing a team like Golden State, it seemed like when they play certain teams that have something to do with their West Coast future, that they were supposed to show up in a much greater capacity. Because when they played the Wolves, the Timberwolves, it seemed like they was playing so great. Then when they get to Golden State, it looked like a total different team. But I think like when it comes down to Klay Thompson, whenever Klay Thompson comes off the bench and get 26, you're probably gonna lose. It don't matter who it's against, because he's been playing so poorly that if you let Klay Thompson get 26 off the bench, you're just not gonna win.
It was honestly, to be honest, I watched that whole game. It was the tale of two halves. You see how good the Lakers are with Anthony Davis. Then what happens? Anthony Davis gets poked in the eye and never comes out in the second half.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. The Lakers are going to go as far as Anthony Davis is available. LeBron James, I watched that way. LeBron James started bullying niggas, yo. He was bullying niggas.
Yeah, LeBron had like 40.
Yeah, he had 40. They took a three away from him because his foot was on the line. He had 43, but technically he had 40. And it was a lot of that was bully ball because I seen the frustration on his face. He's like, man, I'm sick of this shit. And started bullying niggas, which I like. I like to see that. But it was the tale of two halves. When Anthony Davis was available in the first half, they were looking good, and they were beating Golden State. He gets poked in the eye, and he's missing the whole second half. And they end up losing the game. Not saying what you just said isn't good. Klay Thompson coming off the bench with 26 is amazing. I believe he had like 10 or 12 in the first quarter. He was looking amazing, or the first half at least. And as good as he was looking, the Lakers were still winning. Anthony Davis goes down, the Lakers go down. That just goes to show you how much the Lakers need Anthony Davis. Now, when Anthony Davis is having them nights, 25 points, 25 rebounds, and the Lakers look good, they're going to need that every night. It's only about 15, 17 games left. There's no time to take days off. I'm not sitting here saying that Anthony Davis wasn't really hurt, but come on, really? Really? Yo, listen, y'all in Golden State, when I say y'all, the Lakers in Golden State are fighting for playing position, because depending on which seed you get in the play-in, you may only have to play one game. So if you're in the play-in in like the seventh seed or the eighth seed, that means you only got to play one game to get to the playoffs. If you're in ninth or tenth, then you have to win two games to get into the playoffs. So all this is very important coming down to the end. But as far as how the Lakers been playing, they're going to play as good as Anthony Davis' availability.
Yo, Killer, what do you mean by he was looking amazing? Like, what's your take on that?
When you still haven't answered my question, man. You still haven't time. When you say you want to send niggas heat with no AC, niggas think you sweet, then taste me. By that. Niggas think you sweet, then taste me. Are you going to ignore that the whole show? I'm just asking.
Yeah.
You know what? First of all, when you're street tomorrow, I'm telling you now, I'm going to be all week, pause, because I have mashed in the cut for all week. I'm gonna ration that.
I just want to know, what do you mean by he was looking amazing? Like, from your vantage point, What did you mean? You just said this.
He looked like a good basketball player when he was playing for the Lakers. That's what I actually meant. That's exactly. What did you mean when you said niggas think I'm sweet with taste? What did you mean? I answered your question. Could you answer? Because you know what? I've never really been slinging the sweet street at night, even growing up. That never really been no slang. Like, what, nigga, you think I'm sweet tasting? That never been like... That I never even heard that on the block. I'm trying to figure out. Bro, we grew up together. Where did you get that?
That was a good one. That was a good one.
All right, man.
Yeah.
All right, lastly, yesterday the Mavs beat the Nuggets 107 to 105. Are you shocked that the Mavs beat the Nuggets?
Not really. Again, it goes back to that style of basketball that I was sharing about the New York Knicks. When you have those kind of guards and you can actually play that up-tempo game and press them 1-3-1 or any kind of 2-1-2 zone, it makes it easier for you to beat a team like a team that got Joker.
Well, once again, I watched this whole game. Very, very amazing game. Fourth quarter was action-packed. Actually, Denver was down 13 points in the fourth quarter, and they was getting out-rebounded on the offensive end the whole game. Mike Malone lost his mind on his players, the coach of Denver, and in the fourth quarter, they turned it up. Like I said, they were down 13 points in the fourth. They came back to actually take the lead with less than 2 minutes left. Jamal Murray went crazy. He had 12 points in the quarter, and he actually hit a three with, I believe, maybe a minute and some change left. Joker gets it off the timeout. Joker gets the three to tie. Now, with about 12 seconds left, the Denver Nuggets have the ball. Jamal Murray shoots with about 2 seconds left, misses, and gives the Dallas Mavericks a chance to win the game before going into overtime. If you didn't see this game, whoever didn't see it, go to the highlights, go to YouTube, go to whatever you watch your highlights on, and please watch this, because Kyrie Irving gets the ball with 2 seconds left. The only shot that he has to shoot is a left-hand floating hook shot from in between the foul line and the key for the game winner, buzzer beater. And a lot of people would say, that's luck. I don't know how he did it. But you could look at it and see he practices that shot. Who practices a left-hand floater from the foul line? Who does that? And that was his only option. It didn't look erratic. It didn't look like he threw it up. It looked like that's a move that he practices on the daily from the foul line, left-hand floater. It was amazing. I was watching. I said, get the fuck out of here. What I will say is this. Ramadan Kyrie, be careful. Ramadan Reed, dangerous. Man did that with no water and no food. He killed them niggas. No water, no food on Ramadan. They say Kyrie Ramadan, aka Ramadan Reed, is not to be fucked with. I see now. I didn't know what the legend was about, but I seen it yesterday. And it was a spectacular game. But I do want to give Denver credit for not giving up, making a run, coming back. But it was just an outstanding game by the Dallas Mavericks. They were up the whole game. For them to lose that game, it would have been really disappointing. But it was an exciting game to see. Do I think this has anything to do with the implications of the playoffs or Denver coming out of the Western Conference? No, I don't think that changes anything. But I do think this was a significant win for the Dallas Mavericks because they're also in that play-in picture.
Yeah, it's good for their confidence for them to know we could play on that level. And especially being the only elite guard to hit that shot other than Magic Johnson. He was the only one to hit that shot for the game. You know,
Magic ain't even do it with his left though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You can hit the left.
With the left was crazy, bro. It was I was sitting there. I was just sitting there watching this shit in real time. Like, what the fuck, bro? Like, yo, that shit was amazing to watch, man. So Shout out to the Dallas Mavericks and Kyrie Irving and the rest of the gang over there. Great win yesterday. We'll see how this translates moving forward in the playoffs. As for us right now, we're out of town. We'll be back tomorrow. Murder, it was a pleasure, man. It was a pleasure. We'll give you one opportunity. If niggas think I'm sweet, taste me. Nothing? Nothing. All right. Yo, that's all the time we have. It is what it is, baby. Two Big Macs. Like when they doing them 2 for 5.